head into the Ringerverse to stay up to date with all things superheroes and nerd culture entertainment. Hosted by a rotating lineup of superfans at The Ringer, including Mallory Rubin and Van Lathan, shows will provide instant reactions to blockbuster releases, insightful backstories on canon, and mind-bending theories, as well as fresh takes on the latest news and rumors. Check out The Ringerverse on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
What's going on, jabronis? It's pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Prichard.
Roast Battle Season 1 champion, Mike Lunch.
The king of sad stop.
The Silver Lake heartthrob.
It's Trey Kirby.
It's Nick Mundy.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hey, this is WWE superstar, Braun Strowman.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I love Shinsuke Nakamura.
Zach Linder.
Dan Black, a.k.a. the Goof Haraja.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening,
You're listening to The Masked Man Show.
Welcome to Masked Man Mania Night 1. I'm here with the baby face of all baby faces, John Kermit. How you doing, man?
I'm great, Dave. I feel like I'm 12 years old again.
Night 1 of WrestleMania 2021 was as good as it, better than it exceeded all my expectations. And even the stuff that I didn't expect to be that good was fine. It was really good. Like, right. The stuff I thought was going to be good was great. And the stuff that I didn't care that much about was actually, it held my attention. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely was not looking forward to seeing, you know, Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon, but you still, seeing a 51-year-old fly is just entertaining regardless, you know? So you can't complain, honestly. Great card.
We will get there. I want to, of course, we got to start with the biggest news of the night. We have a new WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, and her name is Bianca Belair. And she is, wow.
What
I think the overarching theme of the night was, am I wrong? I mean, honestly, I feel like if you had showed me this card 6 months ago, I probably would have gotten every single pick wrong. Like, based on knowing absolutely nothing. It was a lot of making stars. It wasn't just making new stars, but there were a lot of, like, every match had a star turn. And I think that's what you got to hope for in a company like this, at a time like this, on a night like this. But let's talk about that main event. They announced, I think, was it right shortly before the event, the day before or something, that the main event was officially going to be Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. They teased it for a while. We had an idea, but they just plotted the night out really, really well. But this match, if there was one knock going into this WrestleMania weekend, it's that I was excited for this match, but the build has been capital MEH, like
100%.
It's not fantastic. There's this thing in wrestling where sometimes when a promoter knows they have a money match, they kind of just fast forward until they get there. Like, we know this is going to sell tickets. We're not trying to get anybody bloody in the bill. We're not trying to, like, raise the stakes. We know that bell to bell, we have a money match, and the fans are going to know that too. Now, I'm not going to give WWE all that credit, but if I had never heard of Bianca Belair before tonight, she earned the title Belle DeBell tonight. Like, if that was the first time I'd seen her, if I had no expectations, the story they told in the match wasn't just rookie overcomes the odds, whatever. It was take a person and make them into the biggest star in the company. And I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and watch this match four times. I gotta say, the first note I have when watching this match was, I didn't know they had this many moves. And I don't mean them, meaning these two wrestlers. I mean, like, they in the world. I've never seen, like, honestly, I can't remember seeing a match, a championship match this long where it didn't feel like they ever went back to the well on anything. Like, it was like every beat was original. I mean, compared to the rest of the match, it was so, so good.
Oh, 100%. I was like trying to think of a couple of moves to kind of list off here that they did, and there's just so many. I like the first thing that comes to mind was Bianca Belair hitting like a standing shooting star press. I wasn't expecting to see that tonight, but there was just so many different things. For me, it was like the way they were able to encapsulate like emotion in the storytelling, like the close-ups on Bianca Belair's face and Sasha's face in the entire match, where you see Sasha's kind of going from being the veteran in the match to kind of slowly kind of taking herself out of the match, you know, mentally, and the fact that Bianca Belair's kicking out of all of her stuff. And then you see Bianca Belair in the reverse of it, where, you know, as she fights back, she's like, what else does it take after she hits the 450 splash? I just really love the emotion behind it. And the fact that they were just able to recover after, you know, just like the moment of it all, being the first Black women in a main event. And that's monumental, not just because there are women having a one-on-one match, but there hasn't been two Black wrestlers one-on-one in a WrestleMania match, period. So to be in that moment, you saw them both kind of cry and kind of take in that moment at the beginning of the match, and then to get to business is really amazing. And I tweeted this out. I honestly think it's already it's a match of the year candidate already, just off of like the emotion behind it, the impact of it, and just great moves, honestly. It's early. It's definitely early, though. I will admit that.
I don't have any doubt that we'll be talking. I mean, listen, it's night one of WrestleMania. If this were the end of WrestleMania, if this were the end of night two, I would say there's no doubt that that'll be in the running for match of the year. We don't know what's going to happen. We already just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night. But I think regardless, that match was so, so well done. I'm like, it was. Wow. The spot where, first of all, the moment of the whole match was before the match started, was them like choking up in the ring.
Exactly.
Man, this, it like, I'm getting choked up right now thinking about it. The thing that I always, I mean, listen, wrestling's fake, but we want it to be real. And the thing that I always say when it's not a serious situation, the thing I always say is, when you're booking a character, the first thing needs to be that this human, when you're creating a character, this is a human being that is chosen to pursue professional prize fighting, right?
Right.
Like, that's the first thing. So if the first thing on your list of personality characteristics is this guy's a dentist, then like, no, you're probably doing this wrong, right? That could be a little bit of it, but like, the important thing is that these are athletes that want to win. And that moment at the beginning of the ring was the moment. It felt like two people who appreciated where they were and what they'd accomplished, and that they both desperately wanted to win the match. Like they were there, they had earned their spot, and that was part of the reward. Now, what came after that was the real reward. Did you see the clip of Bianca going backstage after the event?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Her husband, Montez Ford, was there waiting for her right behind the curtain. As a matter of fact, just like picked her up off the ground before she was even out of the curtain and just like carried her 10 feet, you know, just like, this is
amazing.
It was so great. It's so amazing. The emotional stakes were real, and they brought that out in the match too. You mentioned a couple of the great moments, you know, the bit where, well, the gorilla press bit, but the fact that they set that whole thing up with Sasha doing like the tope out of the ring, and then and then she get caught, did the rollover, and then just gorilla press her for like a stroll down the aisle. It was
amazing.
So cool. Sasha Banks is a real, real gift for being able to work as like a smaller wrestler, but never, but not having to seem like a weaker wrestler. Does that make sense? Like,
100% makes sense.
Because she can go on the offense and she can, like, you should be as impressive as anybody else, you know, with her physical feats. But then, you know, when she needs to get ragdolled, there's nobody better.
Exactly. Like when Bianca was suplexed, held her up in like the suplex stance and tapped her legs on all four ropes and then, you know, dropped her. Like, that was an amazing spot. But let's talk about how the use of hair in this match. Like, I think Bianca Belair's hair has been used previously, but I just love the way Sasha Banks used it to get her into. But yeah, when she locks her into the bank statement after kind of tying up her arms, I love that. And then at the end, she attempts to use the hair again. Bianca pulls the hair. That's almost, I feel like that's so like the symbolism behind it with, you know, pulling the hair. That's her hair. Whips her with the hair and then gets her finisher in on it. Like, that was just amazing. But yeah, that was just a great match. What other matches did you like tonight?
Ooh, I mean, we can just go down the list. And skip the tag team turmoil match. Cesaro versus Seth Rollins was just a hell of a match. I mean, just sure. Really, really good match. And it was like there was something kind of bittersweet about it, right? Because we've been waiting for a moment like this from Cesaro for a decade, you know. And they've never gave him a shot. They've given him like 15 different jackets to wear to the ring, and he had a nice new one tonight. But he's they've never really given this opportunity. I think we're all fantasy booking all the time. To me, I am most intrigued by who Cesaro lines up against, squares off against next, right? I mean, they might just drag the Seth thing out forever, as their, you know, Seth Rollins feuds are wont to do. But I mean, you have a white meat baby face who just won a huge WrestleMania match, who's on, you know, SmackDown. There's some opportunities there. There's a lot of things you could do with that.
I honestly, I hope this doesn't sound negative, but I hope they don't throw him into like the Intercontinental title feud. Cause I feel like to throw him in there, it's not like it's a demotion or anything. Like, that would be solid, but I feel like if he gets thrown there, that's just like the highest his ceiling is going to ever be. I think they really need to capitalize on the fact that he just beat Seth freaking Rollins, as they love to call him. Like, he needs to be kind of pushed to the moon. Like, I would love to see him face off with either whoever loses between Edge and Roman Reigns, whoever doesn't come out with the title, or even if they both don't come out with the title. But I want them to kind of keep that momentum going by like facing him off with more main event level talent, because I mean, Cesaro, in terms of like his in-ring work, he's clearly that good that he should be up there. So I hope that they can kind of capitalize on it now that this is, as you said, like this is as hot as he's gonna be. So I really hope that they don't just kind of say we'll throw him into the mid card and just kind of use him there for a couple more months, because I feel like if they do that, in 6 months he's probably gonna go right back down to where he was, you know, a year ago.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think that they should just double down on the badassness of him. And I mean, you could just throw him right in there against Roman Reigns next week. It could be like, you could really do something with him, you know, but you just really got to commit to him. It seemed like tonight could have been a good first step, or it's, you know, whatever. But like, I mean, what a great, that was just a fantastic match. And man, to have a whole match that's built around the airplane spin.
Yeah.
Or sorry, the Cesaro swing. Yep. Yep. And also there was a UFO in the match too. But to have that be your two big spots and to have everything drenched, you got to go out there just being like, what the hell? Like, that's a huge recovery. It's amazing that they made that work. We got so much more to talk about.
We got to talk Bad Bunny. That is next for me. We have to talk about it. How did you feel about Bad Bunny's performance tonight?
I said on our last show, I was very excited because he'd apparently been training. He'd moved to Florida and been training at the Performance Center, not three times a day. But that was also my greatest source of hesitation, right? Because it's just like, what if they think he's going to carry the match and he can't, that's going to be a problem. Well, it turns out he could carry the match. So I had nothing to worry about at all. What a freaking man. He was great. That whole thing was so cool. And he didn't do, it wasn't a lot of silly stuff like making him look stronger than he probably could. There was just like everything they set him up for was fantastic. Honestly, if he was a real wrestler and I was giving notes I don't think I'd have. I think my only note is he jumped off a millisecond before every kickout. That was my only note for Bad Bunny.
Yeah, I mean, it's really crazy in the fact that, like, this didn't feel like a celebrity match at all, in my opinion. In the fact that typically with the celebrity match, I expect them to be the person that gets the hot tag and makes some, you know, bullshit save that no one believes. But he was taking the bumps the entire match. He was the workhorse of the match, really. Did a Hurricane Rana. Honestly, I'm so impressed in the fact that, like, to the point where I want to see him back again. Like, I'm all in on it, which sounds, I doubt they're going to really go all in on this. I feel like this is probably just a one-off, but if they wanted to, he could stay around for a good, like, 6 months, even if it's, like, you know, just some minor mid-card stuff. But I was thoroughly impressed and enjoyed it all, including, what was that move that he hit on the outside that had The Miz and Damian Priest's jaw dropped on John Morrison? I don't even know what that was, but it was insane.
Wait, which one?
The flip. It looks like a standing sunset flip, pretty much.
Oh, the Canadian Destroyer. Listen, in a vacuum, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen, to see him do that move. Now, you know, Ricky Morton, who's like 89 years old, did that in AEW late 2019. But it's sort of the move. It's sort of the coolest move that a guy who can't do, who wouldn't expect to do that move, can do. It's a, right. I think, Dustin Rhodes, I think it was, like, it's this weird, just sort of like new age, like, it's the new version of the suicide dive. It's like everybody can kind of do it, but it's still really cool. But that was really awesome when he did that. And I don't know, he just looked really fluid. He was really good. Do you think there's a market for a celebrity wrestling league?
I don't know about a league per se, because I feel like with with something like this, with Bad Bunny, the reason it works is because he's surrounded by wrestlers that have been doing this for years that aren't going to, you know, risk breaking his neck. But I think the second you put him in with a bunch of other celebrities, I think that's where it starts falling off the rails and we're risking real injuries. So I don't think we can do that.
What if they just had one pay-per-view a year where every match was a celebrity versus a wrestler?
Hey, I'm just gonna plug myself real quick. I wrote about, you know, the culmination of these entertainment and wrestling worlds, and I think there definitely is a market for it, honestly, in terms of, like, there's the personalities for it, and if you just send someone down to train for a couple months, I could see an event like that possibly happening, and it would definitely be a draw in terms of fans having interest outside of wrestling. And as shown today, like, if you give the wrestler or the artist enough time to train, like, they can put something together with talented wrestlers around them that are going to keep them safe. So I don't see why not. I don't know if anyone's crazy enough to do it, but I would love to see it.
Okay, well, I'll suggest that to WWE the next time I talk to them. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We got to sprint a little bit, so I'll just say, Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon was about 10 times more fun than I expected it to be.
For sure.
You mentioned the 50-year-old man flying. That the spot where Braun Strowman ripped open the cage was
amazing.
Like, so simple and so perfectly done. Like, it was just an amazing Braun Strowman moment. And even when Shane started waving to him, I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. But still, they executed it with such precision that I don't know. I was just like, kudos to those guys and kudos to Shane McMahon for trying to kill himself once again.
I don't know how he does it every year, man. Like, what does he have to prove at this point? Like, who is telling this man that you need to jump off the cage at age 50? Like, who is in his ear being like, you need to do this every year? Hats off to him.
My only complaint of the night, my only like real eye roll, repeated eye roll of the night. Whoever thought it was a good idea to say Braun Strowman is dedicating this match to everyone who's ever been called stupid. Like, did they think that's like going to get him over as a babyface?
Hey, be a star. I remember when they were going hard with that campaign, the Be a Star campaign. You got to stand up against the bullies. Even if you happen to be like the biggest guy in the locker room who's definitely been a bully in the past, you got to stand up to the bullies, Dave. I support it.
I saw someone on Reddit or something say, and I laughed so hard when I saw it, that they were expecting, I don't even know if this is what they said, but this is the way I read it. How great would it have been if Braun Strowman had, when they were up on the top of the cage before he threw Shane back in, if he threw Shane down through the announce table, a la Hell in a Cell, thereby losing the match because Shane hit the floor, and it actually vindicated Shane calling him an idiot. Like, that would have been the finish for the ages. But as someone who has been called stupid, I didn't feel a little bit, even a tiny bit better after Braun Strowman won that match. But I appreciate the effort, WWE. One other thing we have to talk about is New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. Talking about making stars. It would be really hard to do a power ranking of who was booked the best tonight, who was booked with the most perfection. But Omos has got to be up there. They used him exactly right. They waited the exact amount of time until all the fans were just like, I want to see him wrestle. Like, yeah, I just want to see him doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got in the ring with a weird button-down shirt, sleeveless button-down pajama shirt, and he was just awesome. He was like laughing like a Street Fighter villain, like just like throwing dudes around. Xavier and Kofi just sold like they were getting, you know, shot with a machine gun, and it was just awesome. It was just awesome. Kofi's face when he took that power slam, I mean, took the power bomb. Well, I mean, he was playing dead, like literally. He right. looked like his eyes were open as he was lying on the ground, not moving. Like, it was nuts. So, yeah, I don't know what you can do with Omos tomorrow or for the rest of his career, but that tonight, he looked like $1 million, man.
It's funny because I wanted to be angry about this match and the fact that AJ Styles was a certified jobber in this match. Like, I don't think AJ got a single move in. Like, not one move. And I think you've really been pushing the idea of, like, AJ being a Mr. WrestleMania because, like, that he's got that level of like, that skill set and, you know, that name recognition to be that guy. But they said, fuck all that. We're going to use you just – we're going to have you for the name recognition. You're going to get beat up a lot, and we're just going to debut this giant. And it somehow I wasn't mad by the end of the match just because Omos looked so great. He got, I lied. AJ got his one spot in, the phenomenal forearm.
I was going to say, there you go.
Almost off his shoulders, which was crazy. But other than that, he was just there for the ride. But it worked, honestly. It really did.
Well, for the record, Seth Rollins has laid claim to the Mr. WrestleMania title. So I guess AJ can't have it. But I agree. I mean, AJ, I said it on the show last time. You know, if you're not in a one-on-one match, if it's like an old guy against a young guy, the young person or the old person's usually trying to make the young person look like a star. In this case, AJ was there to make Omos look like a star, and he worked. It worked. He got him over, and wow, it was great. The night started off with Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. It was actually kind of poetic to do it this way because Drew McIntyre got to be the first, as he had requested several times in the past, he got to be the first person out in front of a live crowd, which he earned. Like, the past year, Drew gets to write his own ticket after what he's gone through or what this company's gone through, but he led, you know, Raw through this crazy year. And damn, that was a really good match. That was a really, really good match. I was tempering my expectations to an extreme amount going into here. Drew McIntyre is, and I've said it many times, probably in the very upper echelon of like guys who work the WWE style, whatever that means, like putting on like real WWE style matches. I remember when he and Seth Rollins had like an 18-month feud on and off, mostly just like Raw matches. Man, they have incredible chemistry because they both, whatever the modern WWE style is, it's what happens when Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins get into a ring together. Lashley's a little bit more of a wild card, right? I didn't know exactly what this chemistry was going to be. I went back and watched some of their matches, their feud last year, and, you know, nothing to get too excited about. This was a really, really good match. Really, really well booked. Like, just someone put a whole lot of thought into it, and the wrestlers obviously put a whole lot of thought into it, and I was surprised when Lashley won. I think I would have been surprised either way, but I was really surprised when Lashley won. They told a story that there was just no way to predict what was going to happen.
Ultimately, I feel like booking Lashley this way was in Drew's benefit. I think to just give him this belt now after losing it, a month ago to The Miz, it wouldn't have done him really the service as the babyface that's got to fight back to get that championship. And another thing that came from this match, which might be a hot take, I think the decision to disband the Hurt Business makes a little more sense now in terms of when Bobby Lashley came down that ramp, he was clearly the heel. Like, there was no, I didn't hear much cheering for Bobby that entire match. And it just felt like he was now the bad guy. I think if you keep the Hurt Business, there's the possibility because, you know, we saw them go against Retribution, where they were kind of these tweeners that were like bullies for hire, essentially. But, you know, where it's with just Bobby Lashley and the way things have gone down these past few weeks, he's like the ultimate heel. And I think with the booking decision here, now it's like we could get this for a good 6 months of Drew having to build back up to get an opportunity to face Bobby Lashley while Bobby Lashley goes on a rampage. So I think ultimately it really all worked out. But what do you think about, you know, the not having the Hurt Business here? Does it help or hurt the match?
I'm not going to sit here and co-sign that it was a good idea to break them up, but they were fine. They were fine. Just the two of them tonight. I'm not really sure what the difference would have been if they just banned Shelton and Cedric from ringside, but you're right. Bobby Lashley is a much more hateable guy when it's just him and MVP. I agree with you on that point. Man, those guys put on a real banger, whatever happens next, I assume this is not the last we'll see of these two guys, but I mean, I think that as much as I thought this was a toss-up, Bobby Lashley winning shocked me more than I expected it to. And I'm very excited to see where this goes. Now, listen, we have the post-WrestleMania tradition is generally that all of these feuds will last another month or two. You know, I don't love that idea. And, you know, maybe they've seen the light at WWE. But whatever happens next, like separate from the feuds that we got, I got to tell you, I'm very intrigued by who Bobby Lashley would be defending against next. I don't even know the answer to that. I'm very intrigued with like the Raw tag division now. I'm intrigued what they do with Braun Strowman after he's done with Shane. Is he in the title picture now? You know, are we going to see Braun versus Lashley?
He might be the second like biggest baby face on the card now, if you really think about it. The way they're pushing him as the anti-bullying giant, like I don't know who else is at that upper echelon of guys that should be facing Bobby Lashley. So I think we might be getting that unless Keith Lee makes a return. Like, I can't really think of anybody else.
The Keith Lee thing is still just sort of bonkers. I guess we'll figure all that out in the future. There was some COVID involved with at some point during his absence. I don't know if he had it or was just suspect.
His girlfriend did, yeah.
It's all very, very strange. Also, there was apparently a COVID-y thing with Tom Phillips, which is why he wasn't on the show. Although, if you want to, you know, just make up some wild stories, he apparently just been replaced. He's off Monday Night Raw and has been replaced with Adnan Verk, who you might remember from ESPN. He's been doing a lot of other stuff. So, that's going to be a really big look for Monday Night Raw, or at least a big shift. It'd be interesting to see how that goes. Listen, I don't hate that decision. I just think Tom Phillips is great. I also think it's just kind of, I mean, I shouldn't be mad at WWE for come for new ideas. But it is weird that you've just been like training an army of announcers in-house for the past like decade, and now you're just like, nah, we don't like them anymore. You know, we're gonna do something different. It's weird. Anyway, enough sad talk. WrestleMania night one was freaking amazing. I mean, it was just so well done. And to see, I mean, we can circle back around. That main event was something really special. And I, talking about what happens next, I mean, these two can fight forever and I'll be satisfied. But which, I mean, I can't tell you the last time WWE ran a card where I was just like, not only do I agree, but I am like pleasantly surprised by every single booking decision.
Right. Let's just hope night two is as exciting and surprising as this one.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think, I mean, now my expectations are really high, so maybe it won't live up to them, but I think it'll be great. Listen, we got to get out of here. It's late at night. You got to post this podcast. Thank you for doing this. For everybody listening out there, John and I are doing it for all of you. Every one of you has ever been called stupid.
Yes, sir.
This podcast is for you. Apologies, as always, to the incredibly intelligent Dean Ambrose, aka John Moxley. We'll see you back here next. Oh, no. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, humanoids.
Tony Schiavone here on The Masked Man Show. We are desperately out of time. The tape machines are rolling. We'll see you next week on The Masked Man Show.